Hi, it's Diane. On my mind, Jose Andres, on feeding people during the pandemic. The chef is often on the front lines in a time of crisis, getting people food in Haiti after the earthquake and Puerto Rico after the hurricane. The current situation is no exception. As the U.S. has remained in the grips of coronavirus, food insecurity has become a growing problem, with nearly 26 million Americans saying they don't have enough to eat each week. Jose Andres has turned to out-of-work chefs and the struggling restaurant industry to crank out meals for the hungry. He has ideas for Congress about how they can better use nonprofits and restaurants to deliver food to those in need. Jose Andres is owner of Think Food Group and founder of World Central Kitchen. Jose, tell me first, how are you? You have been working so hard.
Diane, I think I am like everybody. In a way, this feels, these are the best of times. These are the worst of times. They're the best of times because in many ways we are giving value to many things probably we never gave value before. We are giving value to our family, to our friends, to the important things in life that sometimes they pass in front of us and we don't even think about them. And at the same time, these are the worst of times because we know, many of us by now probably know more than one person that is no longer with us. They are the worst of times because many people lost their jobs, because many people are going hungry, because many people don't know how they're going to pay rent next week, because it seems we are in a moment that who doesn't think like you is your enemy, when actually it's just a person that has a different mindset. So I want to concentrate in these are the best of times, where we can hopefully all learn from them and all together move into this horizon of hope and where everybody can be in pursuit of happiness in this beautiful country of ours.
I share that hope with you, Jose. I must say, we're 9 months now into this pandemic. Hunger has been a problem in our country for a long time, but now becoming a true crisis unfolding in real time. Talk about what you see going on.
The hunger issue in America, to me, is worrisome because we have a lot of talk about ending hunger in the world. And for me, it's very hard to believe we can have any success at that when the richest country right now on the face of Earth is having difficulty addressing the issues that almost up to 50 million Americans are facing every day. Obviously, not everything can be expected from Congress or from the White House. But then I would say that everything should be expected from Congress and the White House. Quite frankly, if there is the political will, it shouldn't be any American going hungry. If there is the willingness to put the resources of the federal government, when there are hundreds of thousands of Americans full of empathy, working on the front lines next to our nurses and doctors and first responders, but people that they want to commit themselves to feed others. The only thing we need is a little bit of wind behind the cells. The Feeding America, the food banks, they barely have enough money to serve the food boxes that they give in every community across America. Soup kitchens are running dry of money. NGOs like ours, we are running out of philanthropy dollars. And actually, it's so simple. We have food stamps, what we know as SNAPs. If Congress will open the gates and we let those SNAPs to be used by families where people don't want our pity. They want our respect, how we can give them respect. Don't make them wait for hours under the cold day, snowing or raining, waiting for a box of food. Just be American pragmatic. Let them use SNAP going to coffee shops, to diners, to the farmers markets. Bring dignity to those families in our darkest hour. School lunch programs. There's so many ways that Americans can have access to food when things don't go so well. Government, and especially the White House, had the power to activate FEMA. We didn't. Why we didn't? I don't know. But in a moment that everybody talks about the holidays, well, Hanukkah, well, Christmas, like in my case, I love when I see politicians talking about Jesus. Listen, Jesus cooked for the apostles, and Jesus multiplied bread and fishes. I know Congress is not Jesus, but they have the power in their hands to end hunger in America right now. And we all, Republicans and Democrats, we should be telling them, what are you doing? We expect more from you. And you are not doing everything you can to make sure every American is fed.
You've had so much experience helping to feed people, first in your own restaurant as a successful chef, and then using your experience to provide food for people in all areas of the world. For those who don't know, Jose, how did you actually begin? What was your life like before all of that?
I don't know where I began, because I feel I'm always at the beginning. Because for me, every moment, Diane, every situation is just learning. And obviously, experiences of the past help you to respond to the challenges of the present. And for me, I think it's many moments in my life, like all of us, right? All of you. We are all who we are thanks to the people that gave us a piece of themselves. And sometimes we even forget the many people that really influence us. In my case, my mom and my dad, they were nurses. I always saw their empathy beyond their duty. Like them, many nurses and doctors, friends of them, that they will always do more than what was expected from them.
Where were you raised?
I was born in Asturias, north part of Spain. Very beautiful place, green, where cows and the mountains meet the fish and the sea. But I grew up in Barcelona, the beautiful city of Barcelona in the province of Catalonia. I speak Catalan, but in Spain, in the moment you move 100 kilometers away, it's like you are an immigrant in your own country. So I'm a guy, I'm a boy that I've always been very comfortable being the immigrant, being the foreigner, being, in a way, the why always building bridges. That's where I grew up as a child into a young boy.
And what about your desire to play with food? How did that begin?
I think helping my father cooking, helping my mother cooking, I saw magic in the kitchen. The way my mom will roast the red peppers, the way she will peel them to discover and show the silky skin, almost like something you wanted to kiss, how beautiful it was. The way she will saute them with the garlic, with the sound and the dance of the garlic with the hot oil, and then a touch of vinegar. And amazing how something so mundane could become so tasty and beautiful. Even to see my father cooking for friends on weekends, big quantities of food, making the fire he put me always in charge of. He showed me that the fire was the most important thing, even more important than the cooking itself. Control your fire, he told me, and you will control your life. He was teaching a young cook, but also he was teaching a young man life in the metaphor of a dish. I did the Navy. Navy days in the Spanish Navy as a young sailor. First time I left Europe was sailing in a tall ship, foremast, the training ship of the midshipmen. It's the moment I began going to places like Ivory Coast and Brazil and Dominican Republic. In the moment is the way I connected my first American writer in English, John Steinbeck, with the faraway stories he will tell about people taking advantage of. I was amazed as a Navy boy. I saw that almost in first person. And then I came to America, Pensacola, the city that celebrates the five flags. One of them, the Spanish Castilian flag. In that moment, a young Spanish boy like me says, oh, sure, I belong here. Then New York, Lady Liberty, Ellis Island, Verrazano Bridge, waiting to dock next day, looking at the stars in the sky, laying down, dreaming. I thought that the stars in the sky were the same stars in the beautiful American flag, where a boy like me could dream that you could belong to America, that everything was possible in America, that the American dream was real. Diane, 30 years, so we dock, and 30 years later, I was opening my biggest restaurant, which is not a restaurant, it's an homage to my country and a love letter to America. A Mercado Little Spain, a heart of Spain even bigger in the heart of New York. Can you believe that I opened that little Mercado 200 meters away, not too far away on 30th Street from the same place I arrived as a young sailor? Obviously, I have a love letter to America. A lot of opportunities has been given to me. I met my wife here. She's from Spain. My three daughters, blessed with friends, blessed with people, work with me and businesses that I try to survive. But America as an immigrant, I feel perfectly at home because at heart, I live very well in this realm of being an immigrant, understanding the new people you are part of, trying to bring also your traditions and more important, always building long bridges to unite different people of the world.
So what got you started on the World Central Kitchen?
World Central Kitchen was founded in 2010 after the crazy earthquake that ended the lives of so many Haitians in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. But they will have to go upon my arrival to Washington, D.C. I went to a place called D.C. Central Kitchen, founded by Robert Egger. I was a volunteer, sharing my knowledge with others, with homeless and ex-convicts. On paper, I was teaching them. In reality, they were teaching me the meaning of life and the meaning of opportunity and the meaning of belonging. All of a sudden, I became everything all the way to chairman. But what I was doing was learning how a plate of food could change the lives of so many. Robert Egger, the founder, when I was 23, he told me that charity, philanthropy, seems is the redemption of the giver, when actually charity should be about the liberation of the receiver. Is nothing wrong to redeem yourself and feel good about helping others? But in the 21st century, we must do better. We must do a smart good. Doing good is not good enough anymore. We need to make sure that it's good to redeem yourself, but make sure you liberate somebody. You put the wind behind themselves to give a chance to every dollar you're trying to invest in the betterment of the lives of others. It's possible. This is how very much the seed of service was planted in me. Listen, it did help. Then 4 or 5 years after I opened Jaleo on 7th and E, they discover a little building, red brick, in a second floor apartment. What happens was the office and the living quarters of Mrs. Clara Barton, a nurse like my mom, a woman that single-handed in the middle of the Civil War will take care on her own two shoulders. The amazing legacy he left behind of saying, if we have wounded soldiers, if we have families don't know where the loved ones are, let's make sure somebody brings these clothing to them. She created the Missing Soldiers Office that then gave birth later on to the American Red Cross. Those stories, as powerful they are, almost nobody knows the Museum of Clara Barton is right there, 7th and E, an amazing woman with very amazing, extraordinary talents that shows you anybody can have them. All those seeds were planted in me. Katrina happened. I regret I didn't go to Katrina. I was younger. I couldn't leave my job. But in my brain, I was like, oh man, look at the Superdome. So many Americans in an arena. What an arena is? It's not a sports venue. It's not a music venue. In my brain, an arena today is a gigantic restaurant that entertains with the sports and music. Why we didn't activate those little kitchens in the food courts of the Superdome? In this moment when Haiti happens, it was nearby. I was in Cayman. I was with my friend, God bless him, Anthony Bourdain, and with Eric Rippert, the three of us, always together. And Haiti earthquake happened. Inside me was this moment of saying, you know, I'm not gonna just stay. I have to start learning. And so few weeks later, I went to Haiti. I landed in Dominican Republic. I drove through the border and I began my adventure of how people like me, chefs like me, that we feed the few, we can be part of also feeding the many. When you have in your people, you send nurses and doctors. When you need rescue missions, you send National Guard and firefighters. When you need reconstruction of bridges and homes, you send the more National Guard engineers and the engineers of the army. If you need to feed people in an emergency, who you should be sending? Clara Barton responded to her call. I began responding to my call. I'm trying to professionalize the response with that one very simple idea. Is hundreds, is millions of chefs, cooks, and food people like me across the world. It's millions of restaurants across the world. If we all become one big family, we'll never ever be an emergency. That's a matter how bad it is and what it happens, that we cannot all become we the people and respond with the urgency of yesterday. That's the way World Central Kitchen began.
So now you've stepped in to try to help people facing hunger as the result of this pandemic. So explain what you are doing and how you are doing it.
Well, World Central Kitchen, we are an organization that really responds to natural disasters. But then happens that this is a natural disaster, as in a way, when the federal government shut down was to me a natural political disaster. And we responded to that. That created the blueprint in how to respond in America. During the federal shutdown, we were feeding federal government people, especially mothers, single mothers, that went for weeks without a check. And believe it or not, was hard on them. And we put many restaurants together in our alliance, providing a plate of food to anybody who will show us that they are a federal employee. Can you believe this happened for a reason? Because in a way, we train to activate not only a little city or a state like we do sometimes, that we go to somewhere and we are all across, or like Puerto Rico that we were with 26 kitchens in the island. We were feeding many places at once in the entire country. What did we do? We began responding to this emergency in February, Yokohama. We sent a team of World Central Kitchen helping the Princess cruise ship with thousands of people on board on what was the first known cruise ship with COVID cases. My brain, which already was following what was going on in Wuhan, in China, and I was already fantasizing about how to respond if this virus was like a science fiction movie, we got ready. And the way to get ready was we had to answer to Oakland at the call of Governor Newsom. Same thing, we were learning. We began writing, believe it or not, the HACCP, the health code in how to cook in the kitchen under COVID, how to protect the people, how to protect the people delivering the food, and more important, how to protect the people receiving the food. So very early on, we began feeding in an emergency mode elderly homes that we had to be very careful to make sure in a moment nobody was giving us much guidance. We will not bring the virus with us into one of the places we had to protect the most, the elderly. We began bringing food to homeless shelters, all of a sudden to hospitals. And people are going to say, but Jose, why did you have to do all of this? Because the cities were shutting down. Nothing was functioning. People were following the rules of the land. If the mayors, the governors told you to shut down, you go and you shut down. Many businesses that were providing services to those homeless shelters, to those elderly homes, to those hospitals, somebody had to do it, and somebody had to do it quick and fast. That's what we began doing.
Okay, number one, who is we? And number two, where did the food come from?
So the we is obviously all the men and women of World Central Kitchen. We're not a big team. We are only a team of 50 people. What happens? This is the beauty of World Central Kitchen. We can grow exponentially very quick and very fast and very efficiently. So who are the we right now? Right now, the we are tens of thousands of volunteers, tens of thousands of cooks, thousands of restaurants. What World Central Kitchen did is, I closed my restaurants on the 14th of March, but I reopened them on the 15th of March. I reopened them not as a restaurant, but as a community kitchen. We opened the National Parks Baseball Stadium. Why did I open the stadium? Why did I transform my restaurants from restaurants to community kitchens? Because we were creating immediately the blueprint. What was that? Let's make sure that the restaurants that we are about to be shut down by our powers to be, I'm not getting into the controversy, it was the right call or not. I believe it was the right one, but that's another conversation. What was Central Kitchen? What we did began partnering with restaurants that we could channel all the philanthropy dollars were coming our way in a very for-profit company kind of call to action with the very resilience and empathy of a good NGO functioning well. Before you knew, we had 3,000 restaurants across America doing 300,000 plus meals a day and delivering the food to any place, any corner that had an emergency because the system stopped functioning. And as the virus progressed all across America, we kept responding. At the same time, fires in California, in Colorado, in Utah. At the same time, the biggest season on record on hurricanes. Then Central America, Colombia, at the same time Venezuela, at the same time Guatemala, at the same time Honduras. I just came back from there in the middle of the Atlantic, one island, Providencia. At the same time, the explosion in Beirut, in Lebanon, where men and women of World Central Kitchen with local amazing Lebanese people, we put 10 restaurants surrounding the ground zero of the explosion in Beirut. And in less than 48 hours, we were doing over 10,000 meals a day, providing relief to hospitals, first responders, volunteers, and people that lost very much everything. That's the we. And I'm so proud that my profession has raised up to the occasion. And that's why this model of World Central Kitchen has become a bill called the FIT Act that has passed Congress but has not passed Senate. Why? I don't know. Because if you want to feed America, as you keep America working, the program that World Central Kitchen created, Diane, is the Smart American Way solution. You feed the people in need, as we should all do. In the process, you keep the restaurants and, more important, the people working, paying rent, paying the farmers, paying the fishermen, all of the sudden $1 is multiplied by 4. You do good in the process, you put the economy up and running.
More of my conversation with Jose Andres when we come back. Here's the rest of my conversation with Jose Andres. He is owner of Think Food Group and founder of World Central Kitchen. So over the weekend, the Congress finally reached agreement on a $900 billion relief package. What do we know about what's in that bill to address the kind of hunger and need you're talking about?
Listen, I'm getting very deep into bills. I'm not the biggest expert, and as you know, it's thousands of pages that we have the people use finalizing reading the whole thing. But to summarize, sometimes credit needs to be given when credit is due, and yes, it's on money to increase SNAPs, but it's on money. Is some money for Feeding America, which are the food banks of America. It's some legislation there that, yes, they show a little bit of thinking and empathy. But the issue is that the scope of the problem, it requires a bigger resolution by Congress. And I have a feeling that Congress doesn't know poor people. I don't believe that our senators and President Trump knows hungry people. Because if you know a hungry person, if you know a poor person, there's no way that your heart can be made out of ice. So I do believe that we need to be bringing our leaders more in the mainstream of deep America, rural America, America that is not blue or red, America that is America, where men and women are sometimes forgotten and left behind. So the bill, quite frankly, addresses some issues, but I was a little bit worried when they passed legislation that was pushed by the White House. It's what they call the three cocktail tax credit, where it's businesses, executives that can't go to a restaurant that used to happen in the past, and can deduct their meal. You know one thing? I'm sorry, and if anybody gets upset with me, I'll take it, and I ask for forgiveness next time I go to church. But let the executive go hungry. Right now, we don't need the bill to be giving tax breaks to people go to restaurants because nobody can go to a restaurant right now. Let's concentrate this for 2022 and beyond. Right now, we need all the space, all the brain, and all the concentration in smart solutions that can keep Americans fed now. FEMA, which I didn't create the names, but FEMA has one word that says emergency. If everybody agrees that FEMA should be in every American emergency, I'm only asking, why is FEMA out on this response in this pandemic? Why FEMA that has pre-approved dollars to be activated in emergencies? They've not been activated by the White House. Why? When actually we have a president that has shown for the last 4 years that he doesn't like Congress or work with anybody. He wants to almost play king-like. Great, President Trump, you got the perfect opportunity to play that card. You didn't need anybody to make sure that FEMA had a bigger response in the middle of this pandemic.
DCS Daily.
DCS Daily.
DCS Daily.
It's news,
culture, and curiosities.
From the District, Tacoma Park,
Alexandria,
Friendship Heights,
Hyattsville,
Falls Church,
Northeast Washington, D.C., in your inbox every weekday afternoon.
DCS Daily.
Sign up at dcs.com/newsletter.
dcs.com/newsletter.
But they've been out of this response, barely helping, and whatever response, like the USDA has done, farmers to families, while it's been their little successes, it's been vastly mismanaged. It didn't help the people was intended to help, which was farmers in rural America. I've spoken to many, and many of them didn't benefit from it. Many of them didn't saw all that money coming into the rural farms. Therefore, and then the boxes, sometimes more often than not, didn't arrive to the many people that really were in need of them. The program functioned well in some instances, but I don't think we should be in the business of clapping. I don't think we should be in the business of, oh, look at what we did. We need to be more responsive with boots on the ground and more critical when the programs work or not. And every program requires tweaking to improve it. So overall, I'm still so sad that still we are not responding, especially through a holiday season, especially through one of the most difficult times America as a nation has faced in memory, that we didn't respond to the needs when the response is doable and the response, we can all make it happen quicker and faster.
So how hopeful are you that this pandemic is going to help people to understand the importance of combating hunger and food insecurity, and that it needs to be a priority for our government?
I am hopeful because I see many people that are seeing the importance of food. I'm hopeful because somebody like is going to be so important coming in, Dr. Biden, by being not only the wife of the president, but what I know is going to be a very hands-on first lady. She tweeted at me, food is love. I'm hopeful because President-elect Biden has done a town hall with a chef like me a few weeks ago, where the main town hall was about food. I'm hopeful because many senators and congressmen on both parties, they've shown that they care about their farmers and about the people. I'm hopeful because many believe that we should be expecting and concentrating in shorter walls and longer tables. I'm hopeful because when I go to emergencies, I always see Americans working elbow with elbow, supporting and respecting each other, not caring who they vote for. I'm hopeful because we have a new USDA incoming, hopefully, secretary, Mr. Secretary Vilsack, that I know some people has criticized his appointment because they don't think it's bold enough. But in these moments, experience matter. Experience is important. And to have a person like him that has been the governor and 8 years the USDA secretary is going to be very important, because many things have gone wrong in the last 4 years in many parts of our government. And I believe he's going to be bold because President Biden is going to ask him to be bold. And I'm hopeful the team he has is going to be bold enough to respond. But I'm hopeful because now I see Vice President-elect that during Thanksgiving with the first gentleman, they go to start visiting soup kitchens in the middle of the pandemic, giving words of support and wisdom. And at the end, I'm hopeful for one reason. I've been calling in different op-eds, New York Times and Washington Post, that we need to have almost a secretary of food, if not a food czar. And that at the same time, the White House should have a 2022 White House Food Summit. The last food summit in the White House happened the year I born, 1969, under President Nixon. Many good things happened out of that. Increased SNAPs, WIC, other ideas that materialized, they happened. And all of a sudden, many Americans were benefited by that White House summit 50 years ago. And I'm hopeful because now everybody begins understanding that food is a national security issue. Now I see generals thinking about it. Now I see people that see that food is not the problem, but food can be the solution. Food is the State Department. Food is Homeland Security. Food is the Department of Education. Food is the Department of Health. Food is at the heart of every single department, from housing all of the way to the Department of Defense. I do believe we are in a moment that food is going to be finally given the importance it deserves. And hopefully this is a chance we have to end hunger in America, to make sure that food is an agent of change, of empowerment in the lives of people, and then we can dream one day of ending hunger in the world.
And Jose, what about restaurants? Restaurants that the mayor of Washington, D.C. has said will not be able to allow indoor dining beginning on Wednesday. You and I are talking on Tuesday morning and running until after the new year. But that's just one small part of the issue. How are we to help those restaurants stay in business?
We need to understand that restaurants, and more important, obviously, the restaurant people are suffering. And for me, it's been one of the hardest things to have to let people go because I couldn't do anything else. I'm counting the days that I can start bringing one by one everybody. But what I would say, respect to Mayor Bowser in Washington, D.C., but then to every other leader, we need to remember that our mayors, they've been in the front lines of this pandemic, even more than the governors, and much more than even anybody in the White House. And to be a leader right now is not easy. And especially in this moment where everything seems is political, to wear a mask is political. It's not easy to be a leader. And it's my respect to Mayor Bowser and every other leader out there having to make the hard decisions on behalf of all of us. Actually, my restaurants inside, I only had them up to 25%. I did this consciously. When I could do 50%, I did less than 50%. Why? Because still I want to protect my people. I still remember I developed in February the health protocol that we call Masky, which is this man with a red hat and a mask that keeps telling you what to do to keep everybody safe. For me, when the teams of World Central Kitchen began feeding people in America and across many countries, I've been myself in 7-8 countries in this pandemic, keeping everybody protected was the most important thing for me. Obviously, the people working with me, obviously, the restaurant workers, obviously, the guests. So 25%, it looked to me, was the super, super safe that we cannot make money, but at least we have a chance to live another day. So now Mayor Bowser dictates that for a few weeks we're going to shut down again. I support her decision. At the same time, I will say that then Congress needs to be supporting mayors that they have to make such a hard decision to support the businesses, to pay rent, and the employees to make sure they can put money on the table. I have nothing wrong, nothing against they decide to close. Again, it's difficult to be a leader. But then, if you make such a decision, take care of the businesses you are somehow destroying and the lives of many that all of a sudden, they don't know how they're going to pay rent tomorrow. That, I think, is the most important thing. Obviously, we will wait until the spring. I think we're going to come strong. When I read what happened in 1918, 1919, at the end, everything went back to normal. Restaurants will be full again. The economy hopefully will grow again. The planes, tourism, hotels. I'm only worried not what the future will bring us. I'm very hopeful of the future. That's why I am so worried about the present, because now is when the people are suffering. And the present is where our leaders can be helping us with smart policies that don't leave anybody behind. So we cannot wait for that future of hope where we are going to be going back, hopefully, to normal lives, but hopefully with much more empathy, and where what is good for you must be good for others.
Jose, we're just a couple of days before Christmas. I've met your lovely wife. How will you and she be spending that day?
Well, we're going to be, we have two homes, which is Spain and America. Our home here is in Bethesda, Maryland. We're going to be here in Bethesda, Maryland. Probably we will try to go for a walk on Rock Creek Park, which is one of our favorite places on earth. Watch some of the birds that decide to stay behind this winter, which are many more than I expected. And just come back and cook with our daughters and open a bottle of wine and celebrate our home and the place we belong. Give thanks because we are still healthy and alive. And just remind ourselves the many people that are not maybe as fortunate as we are. Even, I would say, including the undocumented workers that seems some people don't want, even some people show hate, those undocumented workers. They've been the ones putting fruits and vegetables in the shelves of every supermarket. Probably they've been the ones delivering food to you. Probably they've been the ones taking care of your golf course so you could, in the middle of the pandemic, play golf. Those men and women undocumented. We cannot lie to ourselves, and I do believe is better times coming where we will understand that even those undocumented that some people want out, finally we will recognize that we all made a sacrifice in this pandemic, but was some people that even make a bigger sacrifice, under-recognized, probably with eyes behind their backs, but trying to provide for the families, but in the process, providing to every other single American family. Let's make sure that out of this pandemic, Congress will recognize that immigration reform is not a problem for us to solve, but an opportunity for us to seize. Immigration reform will be an amazing gift to give thanks to many people that even being mistreated and under-recognized, that we will remember that thanks to them, many millions of Americans had an easier pandemic because those men and women were working. I hope we will all come stronger out of this pandemic because empathy will win the day.
I share that hope with you, Jose. Thank you so much for being with us. And I wish you and your family a wonderful holiday.
Thank you, Diane. And do you see that in this pandemic, my English seems is getting a little bit better?
I think it's wonderful. I was very impressed with your English. It's terrific. That was Jose Andres. He's owner of Think Food Group and founder of World Central Kitchen. And that's all for today. Thanks to those of you who've written to let us know what's on your mind. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter or send us an email, drpodcast@wamu.org. Our theme music is composed by Jim Brunberg and Ben Landsverk of Wonderly. The show is produced by Rebecca Kaufman, Allison Brody, and Sandra Baker. Our engineer is Mike Kidd. Please take care of yourself and those around you. Keep wearing that mask. And thanks for listening. I'm Diane Rehm.